Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So communion is always available. So as they are serving the elements, hold on to them until at the end they'll pick them up. So while they're doing that, I want to read out of Ephesians. And and this is Paul writing. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people at Sarita House of Worship, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a greeting, right? Instead of saying to somebody, hey, how you doing? Hey, you all right? How about saying grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought that was maybe something we should practice on. I will continue. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding. Got it? Okay, where was I? With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, what he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their full fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And we'll stop with that.
So if you will all...
If you will all stand with me, please. We're going to wait a little bit. We have another couple that just walked in. I think we're good. Okay. The Word says that what we call the Last Supper, it says that after Jesus was with his disciples, and after he had given thanks, he said that he took bread and he broke it. And as we know today, that is a representation, this is a representation of symbol of the body of Christ. And that body was, as we all know the story, it was mocked, it was broken, it was abused. He was beyond recognition. But this, when we take this, is to remember that his body was broken so that we could have wholeness in our bodies, that we could be free of sickness, that we could be free of anything that would come against our bodies. So it says that whenever we take the elements, that we do it in remembrance of Christ. So please take the bread. And in the same way, he said he took the cup. And this is a symbol, a representation of the blood that he shed on that cross. And as we read the stories in Isaiah or other scriptures, it says every drop of blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And so just know that as we take this cup, that he has made a path so we can boldly come before the throne of God, free of sin, because he paid the price. Please take the cup. And as I said earlier, that when we do this, he said, do it in remembrance. And this is what I would just like to encourage you, is that every time, not just during communion, but that you would have remembrance of what Christ did on that cross. And when he said, finished, there is no more to be added to that. He did it all. He paid the price. And when you think about communion, it's not just one. Sometimes I find that people find it easier to know that God forgave your sins, but it's a little harder to see that he also took all sickness upon himself. This is one thing together. Your body, forgiveness of your sins, and say, finished. He did it all. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your work on that cross. We thank you, Lord, that you have made a path. And, Lord, we just come before you now with boldness, but we come with praise. We come with worship this morning, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be lifted, Lord. And Lord, we invite your presence into this place, Lord. Come, Lord. You see us as individuals, Lord. You see us as a church body, Lord. But we are here, Lord, for your glory. May you use us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Amen. So please pass your element cups to the side, and someone will pick them up, and it's time for some worship.
How many of you guys know that the Lord orders the steps of a righteous man? Amen. That means that every step that you take is a step that's given by him. And you go in the power, authority, and the authority of our God, wherever you're walking. Amen. This is a new song by Paul Balak that we're doing this morning. It says, our God saves. When people walk into this place and they see you guys worshiping, they hear our pastor speaking, the Spirit of God moves in. Amen?
Amen.
And they're seeing that, and that's what draws them to this song, Our God Saves.
You know, we're going to go back into this bridge again. And I just want to encourage you, whatever you're going through, wherever you're at, I was telling my dad that I was reading back in Numbers, and there was something that I never realized, that it's talking about a king and his requests, and there's all this going back and forth. But he was actually asking God in this passage. It's talking about how the king was sending somebody to talk to his prophet, and he was asking him, you gotta curse these people because they're getting too close to me. And he was worried about them. And I never realized that it like just popped out at me so big. And this time of reading, out of all the times I've read about Balak and Balaam, it was this time that I realized that he was trying to curse the Israelites that God had brought out of Egypt and were in the desert. And that's the thing, is it's a really powerful thing when you think about, they were really, God was kind of taking them in circles in the desert, right? Because of the fact that they just were not listening. It's like, God was trying to show him things. God was giving him things. And can I tell you, God was even providing. He was providing the food. He's providing everything they needed. Amen. But they still kept doing this thing where they were just like, it's so sad out here. We're stuck in the desert. We should have never left. We should have never... When God was physically providing their needs. See, it's a powerful thing. But that's the thing. That's where they're at over here, right? And then over here, there's somebody that's like, you gotta curse those people. And what I really liked and what really popped out was that even with their complacency and their turning and not doing exactly what God was trying to get him to do, even through it all, God said, no, those are my people. They're a blessed people, and my hand is upon them. And that's the thing. See, it doesn't matter where you're at. God knows. He knew before you got there. And, you know, this morning, he may even have, it may be the situation kind of similar to that, where he's been supplying and he's been giving you, but because of the complacency we get into, we don't even realize the blessing that's already been pouring. Amen. That's already been pouring out. That's already in our life, that he's already giving us. See, that's the thing. He is the God who breaks chains. He is the God who heals. He is the God who supplies the needs. He is the God who gets rid of fears, anxiety, all of the things that you might be worried about. See, that is him. And even in our complacency, he says, you are blessed, and my hand is upon you. See, that's the thing. He's protecting you. He's got his hand upon you. He's taking you through the areas he's taking you through for your growth, for the things you need. See, nothing happens by accident. Everything happens for a reason. It's a purpose that he has for you, a thing that he's placing within your life. Whew. Come on, church. These are things to get excited about, because even when you feel like you're at your lowest, he is making you great. He is doing great things in your life. He is building you up. He is giving you all the things you need. He's equipping you, and he's sending you in a direction that is going to give you more. It doesn't matter how young, how old, it doesn't matter to him. If you are here, he has a purpose and you are useful. So if you feel like you're not sure what you're doing, you're not sure what's going on or what's happening, know that he is working in your life in every single moment, because his hand is upon you and you are a blessed people. Hallelujah.
Can you hear me now? Good morning, everybody. It's so nice to be up here. Gosh, you got such great smiling faces. I love it. I was wrong about something last Sunday. I was supposed to get up here and give a little testimony, and I apologize. But I'm going to do it now, and some of you have heard it before, so bear with me, because maybe some of you haven't. But in my life, I've had miracles and healings, and it's very exciting to just be able to talk about it, because I think back in all the years that I suffered through these things, it just brings tears to my eyes. And my husband Terry and I've been together 22 years, and he's seen me through all of these. Well, I mean, before 22 years, I had migraine headaches, serious migraine headaches, for probably close to 50 years. That's ridiculous. I don't know if anyone else has suffered from migraines, but if you know what they're like, they're horrible. And mine were for 3 days at a time, at least, maybe a little longer, but I was like incapacitated. You can sit down. It was that I couldn't even get out of bed for 3 days at a time. My children, I had them when my children were very small. And I thank God for my mother because she was there for me and for them. I would not have been able to function at all. I couldn't even have a regular job. Eventually, they let up a little so I could join the Air Force. I was a military person, I guess you could call me, but I was in the reserves for the Army Reserves and the Air Force Reserves, and I enjoyed it very much. It wasn't like going to battle anywhere. It was just, you know, it was like an office job pretty much, except for flying. And so I had a few migraines during the time that I was in that, and I kind of had to fudge my way through it. It was not easy. But I just wanted to let you know that God healed me of those migraines. That's the whole gist of the story. And it was kind of a weird thing because I had to give myself shots. They were so bad that I had to give myself shots that practically knocked me out. And so after I woke up, I was fine. No migraines. So after the migraines were healed, just before that, I have to tell you that I had medication, the shots. And after 3 times of the medication being expired, that stuff was expensive, and it was just laying in my drawer, expired. Isn't that ridiculous? So I had to throw it away, and then I went and got some more. And after 3 times of that, Terry said to me, "I think God has healed you." And I realized he had. And so I give him praise for that. And then not too long ago, I got hit with severe arthritis. And as you can see, I don't have it anymore. Thank you, Lord. So I just want to give you encouragement to keep believing. Don't give up. And fight for your healing if you have to fight for it. You just, Isaiah 53, verse 5, by his stripes you were healed. And that's, I speak to my body, you body, you're healed by his stripes. Claim it. Thank you.
I just feel God is ready to do something. I don't know. I just felt that way all since the service began, so. But anyway, I got this poem on New Year's Day, and I wrote it down, so I'll read it to you. Will you stand up for Jesus and be his salt on earth to say when something's wrong and not deny his worth? Or will you be silent all the day and act like it's okay? Will you stand up for Jesus and be his light of love, to lift your hands in praise and sing to him above, and care for those around you, to love on them a while, even when life drains you, to go forth with a smile? Will you stand up for Jesus and be his hands and feet, to serve the needs of others and help them be complete, to give them what is needed as an offering of love? This should be our calling as we wait for him above. For soon Christ will return and ask what we have done. Please do what he has asked and don't deny the Son.
A few days ago, my wife and I were discussing the significance of January 1, New Year. And it's just something that, you know, when the New Year comes around, there's always something you want to do different. Maybe you want to go on a diet. You say, I want to start going to church more often, or whatever it is. There's an anticipation of the new things that you want to include in your life. And as it should be, you know, but January 1 is just a marker, you know. There's new things coming always into your life. And it can start in July or August, whatever that may be, but we always seem to say, well, January 1, you know, this is when I'm going to do this. So what I just felt that God wanted me to say today is that there's newness coming into this, not only to yourself, but to this church, to God's church. There is a sense of something that is really going to overpower. Right now, it seems like our minds and our lives have been concerned with all the junk that's been going out around us. And I know you guys agree with me. There's a good spirit about what's coming. And so whether it be January 1 that it started, whether it starts for you in February, where do you fit into that place? Where do you as an individual fit to this new thing that God wants to do? We don't want to miss it. And I see, like, even what this morning, having Gina and Deborah come up, new leaders are being brought up. New ways of approaching what God is doing is being brought to our church. And rather than to say, let's just something else, let's embrace what God's going to start doing. It might be something you're not used to. It might be something that you're going to see and not want to become a part of it. But if God's doing it, you really ought to think about becoming a part of it. I mean, you do not want to be left behind. And so it's not just this new prayer time. It's just everyday stuff. You know, that God may be speaking to you specifically, and you're that new leader. You're that person that God's saying, I want you to start doing this, and I will bless. Once you step out, it's like stepping into that water, right? Walking on water. Once you step into it, it's God that's going to carry you through, as long as you keep your eyes on Him. But there's some good stuff coming up. There's some very good things that are going to be happening in this church body. And even as we see today, you know, there could be one person sitting here, and that's all it would take to have God be glorified. But there's a bunch of you here right now. What if everybody did that, right? So let's open up our spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes, and let God speak to our hearts. There's some good stuff coming, and all that stuff that happened, let it go. If things didn't work out, it's over. There's good stuff coming. There's a new, as somebody said, that river of life that's coming. And let's just get in there and don't miss what God's about to do here. So be blessed with His word upon you specifically.
How many are ready for more? Another one, ministering to another person. How many of you want to do that for the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. Oh, hey, Happy New Year to all of you. It's been, you know, I wasn't here last week, so I thank God for Abe, who, when I called him the day before, he said, yeah, I'll do it. Amen? Praise God. That's instant in season and out of season. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God. Let me just say this to you this morning. I believe God, just like Pastor John was saying, God has a lot for us. He's got more than we can even imagine. Can you say that? Can you? But all He's waiting for is us. A lot of times we think that, you know, we're waiting on God. No, He's waiting on us. He's saying to us this morning, He goes, hey, will you?
Amen.
Will you do what I ask? Amen. Can you say amen to that? Will you do what He asks? What does it look like? Well, God, you know, sometimes we want to know, God, well, what's it going to be like? How's it going to bless me, God? Can I tell you, anything God has you to do will bless you? Can I say that to you? Can you get ready for something that God wants to do in your life? Is that okay? Because He's God. There's nobody else like Him. He has plans that He planned way before today. Can you say amen to that? And he knows where we're at. You're here today because his plan says you are to be here today. Can you say amen? Not just in this church, but in this on this planet today. God has a purpose and a design for you that's bigger than what you can even imagine. Can you say amen? God desires that his glory cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. His glory cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Guess what? That glory is dwelt in you. If you're born again, if you believe in God, if you have allowed him into your life, the glory is in you. And God's desiring to pour it out. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, we've got a lot. 2025. Can you believe it? Come on, man. Yeah, come on. There you go. Hey, you can sit down if you'd like. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah.
Yes.
How many of you feel like things are changing? Not, you know, and we're gonna see some different things in our nation. You guys, how many of you guys know that? I've got the name of my sermon this morning is MAGA. How many of you know what that means? make America great again. How many agree with that?
Yeah.
I'm saying yeah. Let's. But I'm gonna tell you this morning. This is not a political message. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God doesn't need politics. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Some of you say, what? What God needs is government. And some of you today, listening to me today, you might not realize it, but God wants to use you in government. Is that okay?
Amen.
How many of you say, yeah, okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go for it. Heck.
He's going to start out real light with you. Because he tells us that we need to that a man or a woman of God needs to know how to rule their own house. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's a government. Government says, yeah, I should not be ruled by my children. How many say amen to that? Some of my children said, no, I don't say no amen to that. Government is something that God has placed in the earth. And what I love about it, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, behold, a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. How many say amen to that? How many know we're the body of Christ today? This is free. I didn't plan on this, but you were the body of Christ. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
The government needs to come from Christ. Is that right?
Yeah.
The government that we see. See, I'm all for Make America Great Again. I'm all for it.
Heck yeah.
But how many of you know that no nation, I don't care which one it is, if it thumbs its nose to God, the Bible says that that nation will turn into hell. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. Every nation on earth needs the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Period.
Hallelujah.
Jesus over 100 times talked about the kingdom, either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So if it might not be important to you to think about the kingdom, but I'll tell you what, when Jesus, before he left, it was important to him to speak about the kingdom. After he was resurrected, he spent another 40 days talking about the kingdom, teaching these guys, telling them there's a kingdom, there's a kingdom. And then they look at him and they say something like, Jesus, will you at this time restore the government to Israel? I can imagine, I've said this before, I can imagine Jesus looking and says, man, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. Man tries to take a universal kingdom and place it into a house Do you know what I'm saying? This kingdom rules the heavens. This year, I heard this the other day, so I'm going to say it. This year is going to be, in August, I should say, my 71st trip around the sun. Is that right? How many of you guys know you've been around the sun a few times? This year will be my 71st time around the sun.
Praise God.
And this kingdom that I'm talking about, it holds all of those things together. We've got all these stars and all these planets hanging out in the middle of nothing. And they haven't changed. They haven't changed their position. Nothing's changed. Why? Because of the Word of God. It is the kingdom of God that keeps it all together. Can you say amen to that? It's God's kingdom.
Yep.
And we here on earth, we want to say, well, the kingdom is a certain denomination, or the kingdom is a certain church, or a certain nation. No. The kingdom is a universal kingdom. And it's for the whole world. Can you say amen to that? And there are believers all across this globe. And we're going to see things happen that we've never seen before, because God's begin to pull on the kingdom. God's going to begin to pull on people. You're going to be, all of a sudden, God's going to say something to you. And this is what I've been praying for. For anybody that's in this house, or any of the houses of worship that are in the city, God, speak to your people. Tell them, speak to them in the middle of wherever they're at.
Yes.
Give them a word for somebody. Because God will expose himself. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
He exposed himself to me. God exposed himself to you? How many of you remember the day that all of a sudden you said, man, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many of you remember that day?
Yeah.
Man, I remember it clearly. God has told me not to forget that day. Don't forget where you've come from. Don't forget about the pit from where you've been pulled.
Amen.
I was pulled out of a pit. And I bet my pit was deeper than your pit. Yeah. God did a good work. Amen?
Yeah.
What do you think, Tommy? He did something great by pulling me out of the pit. If I would have known what he had for me then, I would have jumped back in the pit. Yeah, because I tell you what, for me to stand before a bunch of people, even folks that I don't know, and for me to say things, for me, God, who am I? Who am I, God? Why did you call me God? I still wonder. But he tells me, I've placed an anointing on you. How many of you believe in Jesus?
Hallelujah.
I want to see some hands. How many of you believe in Jesus? Let me just say this to you. If you believe in Jesus, he put an anointing on you. It's in you. You can't get away from it. It's there already. It's that place that God inhabits. Hallelujah. If you will turn in your Bibles to, I think it's 2 Kings, is that right? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 8. I'm excited. I feel good. I'm glad I could come back to church. I'm glad. I mean, I will tell you, I get so nervous before I come up to pray, to preach. I get super nervous. But as soon as I get here, I feel the Holy Spirit calming me down, getting ready for me to open my mouth and speak things that I hadn't even planned on. Can you say amen to that? I trust him. My whole life as a Christian, I learned that the Holy Spirit is only here to do good for me. He's in me for good. He is for me and he's not against me. Can you say amen to that? So when I was excited to get up here because then I can feel that presence. I love the presence of God. How many say amen? I love to sense his presence. But there's times where even though I don't sense his presence, I know he's with me. And sometimes he'll give me a word for somebody. And I love it when that happens. I love when God begins to speak to my heart to say something to somebody. I love it. I don't try to do it on my own anymore. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because the word that goes forth from the Father is the word that needs to be said. And he'll place it in your heart at a certain moment. And you can, and man, you, and all you got to do is deliver it. Is that okay? Folks, this is how the kingdom of God is going to operate. It's going to be led by the Spirit, not by man. Can you say amen to that? Not your intentions. You don't have to tell, you don't have to say, I learned Romans Road. How many of you ever heard of the Romans Road? I learned the whole thing. I tried using it on some folks. Didn't work. It wasn't what God was saying. Can you say amen? Sometimes God might want to say, just, hey, I saw you eating that apple pie. God saw you eating that apple pie, and he just wants to tell you he loves you. Isn't that crazy? You don't know that they were eating an apple pie, but God does. And that word that goes out, it will, I'll tell you what, that spirit will recognize it. Hallelujah. We're in a time today, folks, that there are many, many words going out. People are speaking all sorts of things, and a lot of these things are not even from God. They're made in the heart of man. And we have to be careful with that. Can you say amen to that? See, this is why it's so important that you read the Word of God and you allow the Spirit to speak to your heart. That's why. And you, Pastor Henry, how does God speak to my heart? Well, you can be reading and all of a sudden you get really touched over a word. How many of you ever experienced that? Anybody? And that's how God touches you. Those words become very real to you. He's writing them within you, if you will. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So whatever comes out of my mouth today, if you don't get it, it's okay. Yeah. It's all right. The Bible says for us to test the word, see if it's of God. And so whatever comes out of my mouth, hey, test it. Don't believe me. I'll say that. I always say that. Isn't that right, Terry? Don't believe me. Don't believe. Anybody ever heard that song, If I Had a Hammer?
No.
A hammer in the morning. A hammer in the evening. All over this land. A hammer out. A hammer out. I don't know. I don't remember all the song. Terry, I'm going to say this to you. As soon as I looked at you, that song popped up in my mouth, in my heart. You see, you've got a hammer that is forging and forming. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The Word of God says, is not my word like a hammer? You've got a hammer that's forming and forging the things of God in people's lives. Continue to use it, bro. Use the word, the word, the word, the word. It's all about God's word because he indwells the word. Ooh, if I had a hammer, you're going to sing that. You're going to learn the words of that song. I know you. I'd hammer in the morning. Glory to God. That's a word for you, bro. Love you, bro. Hey, let's better get into the word of God. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 8. Probably be good if I got there. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And a man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. In other words, it happened again and again. This man of God was telling the king of Israel
Don't go there. There's an ambush for you. And they're waiting on you. And so that word that he gave him, it kept him. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which is for the king of Israel?" He says, "Boys, we got a mole." I mean, say amen. We got a mole here. Somebody's telling our plans to the king of Israel. We get ready. We're ready to do. We're going to wipe them out. And guess what happens? They don't show up. Which one of you guys are telling on us? Find them all. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, the prophet's in Dothan." Therefore he sent there horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city round about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" what are we going to do? And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. I just want to say this to you. How many of you know that Elisha, he operated a little different than most people. Is that okay?
Yep.
He operated not with his eyes, but what he believed and what he knew. Somehow he knew that there were horses and chariots of fire all around him. Amen?
Amen.
He knew it. See, that's kingdom mindset, if you will. That's the mindset of the kingdom, knowing that God will never leave me nor forsake me.
Amen.
He encamps his angel armies, the host of heaven, encamps around me. We have to remember that, folks. Can you say amen? No matter what goes on to you, no matter how, whatever happens to you, whether good or bad, how many of you know that it's okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is it okay for something bad to happen to you?
Yes.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Could that thing that you perceive as bad be a gift that's wrapped in bad?
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to ask you that. Could it be a gift that's wrapped in bad? What you perceive as bad. Oh, I don't want to open that, but yet there's a gift. Can you say amen? See, this is what God is doing. He's convincing you that he is with you no matter what. It is a kingdom perspective of who God is in your life. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will always watch over you.
Yes.
You're never in too bad of a spot. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm not making it light because when people pass away and everything, our loved ones pass away, those are tough times. But yet God still has something for you. Can you believe that? We need to believe things like that. We need to believe that no matter what, God, I know that you are strengthening me. I know that you have something great for me. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed under the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto him, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them into Samaria. I love this. Elisha. The man that had asked for a double portion when Elijah was leaving the earth, he said, Elijah, I guess one thing I want to ask for, I want a double portion. And God gave him a double portion. Because Elijah said, if you see the mantle, if you see me when I leave, God will honor that. And you know what I believe with Elisha was? And it might seem kind of strange because there are some crazy stories about him. But I believe he got a double portion of love. An anointing of love. Because check out what happens with these guys as they're in the city of Samaria. Came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. That was their enemy's camp. They're in the middle of their enemy's camp. And the king of Israel said to Elijah, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? The king of Israel. How many know that we are designed to see things a little different? That we don't see things like the world sees things. How many know that? Do you realize that? Do you know that you're called by God to look at things in a different way? Is that okay? I want you to just throw the scripture. We'll come back to this, but I want to throw this scripture up, Isaiah chapter 42, 18 through 20. I want you to look at this. We'll come back to this, okay, Liz? Thank you. Hear ye deaf. How many of you are deaf? Huh. It's kind of a weird statement, huh? Hear this, you deaf person. That doesn't even make sense. They're deaf, right? Duh. Okay, but just check it out. Just watch what he said, because he's really not talking about the function of their ears. He said, hear ye deaf, and look, you blind. See, I mean, this is confusing already, Lord. He says, that you may see, who is blind but my servant? Or who is deaf as my messenger that I've sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he hears not. I want you to think about this. There's a lot of things going on in our world. How many say amen to that? A lot of things are happening, and God is saying, look, the servant of mine does not focus on what the earth is doing. Can you say amen to that? Of what's going on in the globe. If you focus on that, I will tell you, you will probably get a little bit, you might lose your joy. Is that right? Because there's a lot of stuff going on. Pick something. You can find a lot of things that will worry you. But God says, who's as blind as my servant? The reason he says it is because their focus, where their focus is on his kingdom. That's where the focus needs to be, folks. God's kingdom and what it's doing. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you because you're seeking the kingdom. You're not focused in on what's going on in the world. Look, it's good to know. It's okay to know. Sometimes we know too much. God is saying that we need to be focused on him and on his kingdom and what's happening. Because he is bringing a kingdom into the earth. He told us to pray for it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he said, pray this. This is what he told the disciples. Pray this. This kingdom is going to come. It's here. But the manifestation of this kingdom in the way God wants to manifest it is not. It hasn't happened, but it's going to happen. And you're part of it. Can you say amen? You've got a great thing ahead of you. Hallelujah. Amen. So in those things that are going on around you that you really don't need to be focused on, just, okay, God knows what's going on. That's how you can do that. God is in control. How many of you still believe that? How many of you know that God sees everything happening on this planet, and yet he's still in control, yet he's still trying to speak to the hearts of his people, saying, I've got something for you to do and say. Will you obey me? Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. Are you using your gifts, the giftings that he's given you? Are you using them for his kingdom? Whatever way it might look, whatever it is you do, if you're an artist, draw for the kingdom. If you play the guitar, play the guitar for the kingdom. Isn't that right, Steve? Come on, man. You an architect? Be an architect for this kingdom of God. Focus in on what God is saying to you. Because a lot of times, folks, we have gifts that God is saying, I gave you this. I gave you this. Just do it. Just do it. Some of you people, you like to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of you like to talk too much. Got an opinion about everything. It's a gift. It's who you are.
Amen.
Use that gift for the kingdom. We open a mic up here. How many people we get? Five with pastor, maybe? It's a gift. God is doing something. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he answered and said, you shall not smite them. Would you smite those whom you have taken captive by the sword and with the bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. What? And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Isn't that cool? They probably went back to their king and said, hey, man. They said, hey, where's that man of God that I sent you for? Well, king, we didn't find him. We were smote with blindness. What? Yeah. We ended up in the middle of Samaria. What? Yeah. You fought your way out? No. They fed us. They gave us stuff to drink, and they sent us home. Folks, hallelujeah. I mean, Romans chapter 20 verses, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12 verses 20 and 21. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If he thirst, give him drink.
Yes.
For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to bring the first MAGA point. Is that okay? This is a MAGA point. MAGA point number one is maintaining actions of godly authority. Maintaining actions of godly authority. You see, folks, God has given you authority to do things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you know this? And God says, I know that MAGA with a O in it, it's... I know, it doesn't say, it says more like mayofga, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Did I lose everybody?
Yeah,
it's supposed to be MAGA, M-A-G-A. But I'm gonna make an excuse. I'm gonna say this is why I used it. How many of you say USA? What does that stand for?
United States of America.
Of America, right? Yeah, so that's why the O is, you don't put the O in the USA. Is that right? So that's why that O is in there. So this is a MAGA point, and it's maintaining actions of godly authority. You have been given authority to do actions, to do things. Amen? And God says, I want you to maintain that. Maintain it.
Yes.
Use it once in a while. How many of you know if you don't use it, you lose it? Is that okay?
Yeah.
How many, if you sit around all day, what happens? Gets hard to get up. Amen? Is that right? Use it or lose it. That's why I'm saying maintain actions of godly authority. God's giving you authority. And this, what they did was a godly thing. It was not heard of. Bring them in, feed your enemy, and send them home. Yeah, come on, man. That army never returned. Later on it did, but during that season, they never returned. It's crazy. I mean, MAGA. How many know that God is a revealer of secrets? Verse 11 and 12 of where we're at here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Let me put that up. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Okay. Oh, and the king said, "Show me which one is against us." And says, and one of his servants said, "None, my lord, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel tells the king the words that you speak in your bedchamber." And he said, "Go spy where he is." How many know that God has secrets? And God wants to speak things. Is that right? He might want to tell you, "Hey, I've got a little vehicle down the road here for you, but I need you to listen to me so you can get it." Can you say amen?
Amen.
We were shopping for a car. We had this huge station wagon, used a lot of gas. But to make a long story short, we were asking God. We searched for it all week. Isn't that right, Rose? All week long we searched for this car. Could not find the car that we wanted. The guy, the salesman, kept telling us. I kept looking at one car. It was an Oldsmobile Delta 88, a 1988 Delta 88. Nice, huh? I'm looking at this car, and I go, "Man, I like this car." And the salesman says, "That's too much money for what you want to get, what you want to pay. You told me you needed payments around this much." I go, "Yes, sir." He goes, "You can't buy that car. It's too much for you." Okay. So we drove other cars. Rosie and I could not come to an agreement in any car, but she liked that car. So we stood. I said, "You know what? Find out what this car costs." So he goes, "Well, I'll go in and I'll talk to the manager. It's getting close to closing time." So he goes in. Rosie and I grab it. We said, "Lord, we really like this car. This is the only one we've ever agreed on. I wanted to get a big station wagon for her, and she wanted a little sports car. But I said, man, this is the one we agreed on. So Lord, we're going to trust you, Lord. This is our last night." Because I had told her, "We're not going to look again after night. If God doesn't want to get us a car, we'll drive the old station wagon." Well, the guy comes out. When we were praying, the lights went off. We woke up, we opened our eyes and looked around. It was dark. We're looking and standing in front of the car, and the guy comes out. So he goes, I don't understand, but he said for me to give it to you for what you want. I said, "Really?" Yeah. We looked in the car, and it needed a radio. Didn't have a radio in it. I can't even imagine why. It had a radio, but it didn't have, you couldn't put any tape. So we had cassette tapes. And so I said, "Hey, I see it doesn't have a cruise control on it either." He goes, "No, it doesn't. You buy it as it is." I said, "Can you ask your boss if we can have a cassette player in it with a cruise control?" He goes, "Hey, you're getting it already." I said, "Can you ask your boss?" So he goes in, asks his boss. His boss comes out and says, he goes, "I don't understand what's happening. Go ahead. It's for you. You can have it. We're going to give it to you." So they sold us a car for what we wanted, the payments we wanted. It was crazy. It was cool. I had to take it on Monday back to get the cruise control and the tape, the cassette player put in. Pulled in. They told me, "Hey, go ahead. Where's that Tucson Auto Mall?" And they said, "Hey, you pick a car and you can take it, use it for the day." I said, "I'll just stay over in the mall." So I went over to the mall, hung out. About 4 o'clock, they told me to come back, and we'll go back at 4 o'clock. I'm in the where the salesmen are at, and I'm waiting for the car's not there. So I'm looking around. There's one salesman that just, he never goes out. He's just walking back and forth, and he's watching all the others. I figured he was the boss. And so he's standing there with me, and where I'm looking, I'm waiting, sitting down, looking. And then I see the car drive up. I go, "Oh, there it is." So I get up, and he looks at it, and he turns around, and he looks at me and says, "Hey," he goes, "Did you buy that car?" I said, "Yes, sir." "That's my car." Yeah. I don't own a big Pontiac station wagon anymore that uses gas. Yeah, that's my car. And he goes, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. And he goes, hey, come into my office. We go into his office, and he closes the door. As soon as he closes the door, I'm standing there, and he starts to walk around me. He looks at me and goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not. No, I didn't say that. I said, yes, sir, I am. As a matter of fact, I am. He says, you know how I know? He says, because I'm a Christian too. But it only happens once in a while. He says, the reason I became the manager of this is because I would hear God, and he would say, give it to them. Every time I worked out a deal for people, God would bless me. And I became number one salesman of this place. Now I'm the manager of this place. I said, well, that's cool. That's really cool. So you see how God will bless. You see? God does things so many different ways that he blesses you. He's blessing you even right now. You don't even know it. You might not even understand it. There's things going on at your house right now that you might not even know. Who knows? There might have been a leak in your ceiling that God is fixing right now. Is that okay? Can he do it? What is too hard for God?
Yes.
Can you imagine that God is actually for you and not against you? That he actually cares for you.
Yes.
That he actually loves you. I like what my daughter brought up this morning about Balaam and Balak. Israel, they were horrible folks. They were complaining about everything. We don't want to eat the manna. We need something more than manna. We need water. We need garlic. How many like garlic? I like garlic.
Woo!
We need garlic. In Egypt, we had garlic at least. This bread, that's all we got. All they did was complain. I don't think they were a blessing to Moses. But yet, when Balak was trying to get Balaam to curse him, God said, no, they're blessed. They're blessed people. And see, how long does it take us to understand that you are blessed? No matter what you go through, no matter what it looks like, you're blessed. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Here's the secrets. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says this. God tells secrets. He will tell you things. How many say? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Can I tell you that when God does something for you and you know it's special? Because he does special things. You know, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Do you know that? Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you look for it? God, your earth, this planet I'm on is full of your goodness. Lord, show me some more of your goodness. Amen? Hallelujah. So do you believe that these secret things that are revealed to you, they're for your children and for your children's children? See, when he shows you something, you're going to speak it to your kids. They might think you're a nut. But they're going to say, one day they're going to say, you know, my dad or my mom told me about something like this, and God has been blessing us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, I think it is. Yeah. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22 says this. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And the light dwells with him. Everything, he knows everything. What's in the light, what's in the dark. And most of the time, the things that are in the darkness that we don't know is because he hasn't revealed them to us. But he will reveal them to you. Is that all right? Come on. Psalm 81, verse 7 says this. It's coming. Psalm 81, verse 7, it says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou will answer me. You see, he knows things you're going through. Is that right? And he'll answer you. Is that okay? I'm going to bring you to MAGA point number 2. It says this, MAGA, M-A-G-A. Man asks, and God what?
Answers.
God answers. Call upon me in the time of trouble, in your times of trouble, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things to come. Is that right? Is that what he says? Jeremiah says that. Psalm 86, I'm sorry, is that 36 or 86, 86. Liz? 86:7.
Yeah.
Psalm 91:15. How many like Psalm 91? He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Is that good?
Amen.
Is he kidding?
No.
He's not kidding. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 through 39. Let's look at this. You remember when Jesus went up on the mount, when he went and he prayed, he looked at the city of Jerusalem and the Bible says he wept. Well, it doesn't say he did it here. He didn't. So watch this. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stones them which are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is speaking not only to Jerusalem, but to all of us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He's speaking these words. He goes, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, man. How often I wanted to gather you in, like Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he's my shepherd, my God, in him shall I trust. He shall cover me with his feathers. Is that right? He wants to gather all of his children together and be that surrounding protection for them. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. But watch this. Watch what he says in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. This is a different place where he's speaking about Jerusalem. And this says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known even you, at least in this day, the things which belong to your peace, but now they are hid from you, from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. He's speaking to Jerusalem. Is that right? And then he says this, because you knew not the time of your visitation. How many of you know that God visits you? How many of you know that God is interested in paying you a house call? Can you say amen to that? Sometimes we might be just too busy to get to receive anything from the Lord because, you know what, God, right now I got to go to the grocery store. God, right now I got to go do this. Right now I got to go do that. I got to go. And you know what, God is saying, I'm visiting you. I want to visit with you. And sometimes we don't even realize that the visitation that he wants to bring to be with us in is something that is going to help us, strengthen us. Hallelujah. But we're too busy for God. You didn't know your time of visitation. Bringing the next MAGA, if you will. It's mindful awareness of God's anointing.
Yes.
Folks, we need to be people that are mindful of his anointing in our life. He has called you with a calling, if you will, to do for him things that you might not even think he's going to do. He's got more for you than you might even realize. But there has to be a willing spirit in the people of God. Can you say amen to that? This is not a just on Sunday kind of relationship that you have with God. Just on Sunday we do a Tuesday morning or we do a Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday evening. This is a 24-hour a day thing that we do with the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 16 says this. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Is that right? Yeah, this is for you. You should go and bring forth fruit, that, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's something about spending time with God that he begins to prepare your heart for the things he has for you. And when he's preparing your heart for the things he has for you, then there comes a need in your life. You say, God, I want it. Can you do this for me? And God says, yeah, I can do that. I'll do that. And God will do those things. You know, we say it all the time, that when he calls you, he strengthens you for that calling. Is that right? And everything that he has for you, he's going to bring it to you. But you got, folks, I will tell you this. We cannot do things the way the world does them. Those ways don't work. Can you say amen? Not in this kingdom. This kingdom works a totally different way. So when he calls you to do something, and when he says, would you go do this for me? There should be a yes, sir. I'll do it. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 says this. Almost done, guys. Now he which establishes us with you is Christ, and has anointed us is God. Who anointed you? God anoints you. He has sealed you and given you the earnest of the Spirit in your heart. You're anointed by God.
Praise
to do things for God. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says this, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Isn't that good? Man, I will tell you, that is a wonderful scripture. Because as he teaches you, you begin to learn the things that he has for you, and it keeps you. Come on, hallelujah. That's a good thing. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is the last one I've got for you. It says this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How many of you know God's with you?
Amen.
Yeah. There's six of you in the house that know that God's with you.
Amen.
God is with you.
Yes.
And it's funny because it's not so much you, it's Christ in you.
Amen.
And the things that he has for you come via the Spirit. Can you say amen? The Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So the things that he has for you are going to come to you by the Spirit. You don't just make up your way, you obey. Is that okay?
Amen.
Obedience is a big thing with God. How many know that? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a big thing with God that you obey. Can I tell you that the body of Christ we got to learn how to obey the Lord.
Amen.
Just obey. I like the idea where God might say to somebody, myself included, Henry, I want you to paint the building. Okay, God, let me check the finances. You buy it. Henry, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. God, okay. Hey, God, why me? Why not you? Can I tell you, if God calls you, he equips you. Is that right? Can I tell you this? The journey validates the arrival. Whatever God's taking you through it makes you stronger for the arrival of what God has for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The journey validates your arrival. God wants to use the body of Christ in ways that they don't think they can be used. How many of you know the Bible says to give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over? How many of you know, don't get nervous, because I'm not taking an offering. That box is in the back if you want to give. We don't take offerings in this church. We allow the Holy Spirit, that's His job.
Amen.
To place on the hearts of His people, hey, what they need to give. Some of you, listen to this. God wants to bless you out of the water.
Amen.
He wants to blow you up. He wants to blow you, bless your socks off. He wants you in a position that He can place blessing in you. But I will tell you something. Do you know that blessing comes through giving?
Yes.
Is that right? Is that right? For God so loved this world that He gave His Son.
Yes.
That blessing that we all enjoy, it comes through giving.
Yes.
Folks, hallelujah, giving is an important part. MAGA. That we might see God doing things in the earth that we've never seen before. Can you stand? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance." That's us. We are to do things that God has planned for us, each and every one of us. We're not. Hey, listen to this. If you're focused on you, it's hard to beat. There needs to be a focus on God.
Yes.
And then you'll see the things of God happening. Is that all right? Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for Your word. I ask You, Lord, that You continue to bless Your children. Father, I pray, Father God, that You would, by Your Spirit, Lord, speak to Your children. Speak to us, Lord. Let us hear what You have for us, Father, for 2025 and beyond, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You've brought us this far. And God, that You're going to continue to move and to bless this house, those houses out there that worship and serve You,
yes.
Your blessing is upon Your people, Father. We thank You for it and we praise You for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
I'd speak, hug each other's necks and tell everybody.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.